KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the world premiere of Jump, co-produced by Confrontation Theater and the Milagro Theater. The play runs from March 21st through April 13th at the Milagro Theater in Portland. Jump is the story of a 20-something who is reeling from the death of her mother. She is looking for solace in a good place to vape, but what she finds is a journey of self-discovery. Again, that's Jump, every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from March 21st through April 13th at the Milagro Theater, 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Well, I suppose the big news today is Cyclone Idai, or is it? It's kind of down in the news roll if you look at the news aggregators. So I would encourage you to actually have a look at it and particularly Al Jazeera or BBC and look at the aerial footage, which will tell you as much as you can get from the text at this point. To say it's a devastating cyclone isn't enough. It is clearly a next level climate destruction cyclone. And looking at the video, you can see so many roofs torn off and the entire town. It's not a case of like looking down at Houston where you see so many streets flooded and a lot of houses up to their roofs and water and that sort of thing. No, this city's gone. It's underwater. Have a look yourself. Speaking of Houston, National Guard troops have been called in. Residents were told to stay inside. This is from Associated Press. After elevated levels of benzene were detected early Thursday near a Houston-era petrochemical storage facility that caught fire this week. And the article goes on to say that they're checking for benzene, and Texas Environmental Protection Agency is saying that it's not a health concern, but authorities are telling people to shelter in place. Several school districts are canceled for the day, so there's a toxic emergency in Houston. And before I get to my main topic this week, I want to start with This Week in Whiteness. From the Roots, a Virginia school resource officer has been identified as an active member of the white nationalist group Identity Europa. In fact, it appears he was in charge of guiding new recruits through the application process, according to the Huffington Post. Daniel Morley, a 31-year-old cop working at L.C. Byrd High School, which is majority minority, was identified by anti-fascist activists, also known as Antifa, who pored over Identity Europa's leaked group chat logs. Unicorn Riot had leaked those, and Antifa reached out to Richmond Times-Dispatch to tip the paper about Morley's affiliation. Organization alleged that Morley, who was hired by Byrd High School within the last year, has been a neo-Nazi for more than a decade. According to the Daily Beast, Morley had been posting on Identity Europa's private chat server since at least 2017 and on Stormfront, another white nationalist platform, since 2009. In August 2018, Chesterfield County Police shared a video on Twitter of Officer Morley introducing himself as the new SRO for Byrd High School. And he said, quote, her. You can find that at The Root. I did improvise a bit at the end. Okay, so now today I want to talk about geoengineering. Because I've been seeing a lot of it on those news rolls, on those aggregators that's popping up. Why are they suddenly talking about geoengineering? All these years, it's been kind of a quiet topic, I guess, because you don't talk about geoengineering unless you're looking at a world that can't be saved by shutting down the carbon pollution. But it seems that we have reached that hair on fire moment. So years ago, I had Naomi Klein in this studio, sitting across from where I'm at right now, to discuss her book, This Changes Everything, which is an excellent book to get and read. It's about the desperate need to stop capitalism-induced climate change. I was pretty glad to have her here. And I got her to sign her book, which I proudly keep prominently on my bookshelf. She dismisses geoengineering in that book as a likely disaster. But you can guess what I'm going to say now. That was years ago, and we haven't made much progress on corporate rule. I mean, I guess you can't say not no progress, because young Americans are saying they're in favor of socialism. And that's a hell of a shock to me as an anarcho-socialist from way back in the distant, misty mists of time. And I have always just assumed that I was going to live and die without that kind of popular inclusion. Ooh, that feels good. It feels good. Hello, socialists. Hi, I'm waving at you. Yay. And so that's happening, but you know, that's just barely a thing. I mean, things are getting worse rapidly. And since we've made little or no progress, the pollution that drives our civilization-ending misery and death-causing climate change has merely increased. And I point your attention again. Please look up Cyclone Idai on the news aggregators. Look at the BBC and the Al Jazeera coverage. And if you look at that and you say, God damn, well, then you'll be saying the same thing that I'm saying. Now and again, I see efforts funded by the very rich to blame the individual citizen for the situation by way of promotions that imply that you might save the planet by walking more and keeping your lights off. But that isn't even close to the truth. Your employers will still insist that you arrive at work on time, even if your salary forces you to live across town or out of town, and they might acknowledge your purity if you hand wash your clothes, but they'll still point you to the door as soon as they smell them. It ain't you, babe. It's industrial capitalism that is accelerating its CO2 emissions as we speak. When were you ever given a plebiscite to decide whether the 1973 law that put electric vehicles as a mandated portion of the manufacturing process, when were you ever asked whether to spike that? You weren't even told about it. You didn't know that it even happened, did you? We were supposed to have a substantial portion of electric vehicles by the distant year of 1993. It's gone. Because industrial capitalist billionaires are in the midst of a successful multi-decade project to break down the expectations of the U.S. workers. So you might not be able to afford that new electric car, and that's just fine for them, because Chinese money spins just the same. They're not going to agree to end our profitable commuter system, and I don't mean our profits, their profits. They're not going to end it without a fight, and if they can keep us pointing at each other over eating a hamburger or drying our clothes, and they can keep cranking out the fracking, the bunker fuel pollution, the jet traffic, the automobile culture and its suburbs and freeways, the oil sands, hellscapes, everything. It works just great. It's called Let's You and Him Fight. When the wind blows at 200 miles an hour, when the heat soars over 120 degrees, they'll be safe and comfortable in their gated, sealed, air-conditioned, armed bunker communities where you're not welcome except as a visiting menial worker. So here's the problem. You and I have a tremendous need for social change and a redistribution of wealth and power, and for an immediate emergency mobilization converting to wind, solar, and battery power. And that must happen. And the opposite is true of the 100% or 1,000th of a percent of wealth aggregators, the people who actually control the society. They need us to stay out of their hair and out of their air-conditioned paradise. They need us to die like flies in those heat waves, to die of dehydration in the big cities, to die of zoonotic diseases, but in any event, to die and get out of the way. Automation and artificial intelligence will take care of the work we are doing before and that we're doing now. And the last thing they need is a democratization of society that will inevitably redistribute most of their billions, or they think of it as their billions. Where'd that money come from? Came from our work. That's how you get billions. So here's my contention. The petroleum hegemons have the power, and they're setting the table just as they always have, but this time there is no place for you and me. Whoops, what happened there? They successfully delayed this debate until it was too late to move without a gigantic crisis. Now they offer their solution, which they have intended to roll out all along. Quoting from DSmog blog, a new report makes the case that the fossil fuel industry prefers geoengineering as an approach for addressing climate change because it allows the industry to keep arguing for continued fossil fuel use. Surprise! In Fuel to the Fire, how geoengineering threatens to entrench fossil fuels and accelerate the climate crisis, which is a big long title, the Center for International Environmental Law warns that geoengineering, which includes technologies to remove huge amount of carbon dioxide and shoot particles in the atmosphere to block sunlight, potentially offers more of a problem for the climate than a solution. And speaking for myself, the technology to remove huge amounts of carbon dioxide isn't economically feasible and doesn't really exist. So whenever, although it's being cooked into figures going forward, oh, we will have the technology. No, it ain't there. You don't say we will have the technology when you really just don't have any idea how it's going to work. Maybe you've seen that picture of big nozzles, great big nozzles, huge nozzles on top of a building next to a power plant in Europe. And that technology does indeed remove some carbon, doesn't remove any significant amount and can't ever. And we're talking about tens of trillions to even get started, not to come to a solution. It doesn't exist. Let me just say, long story short, sucking the carbon out ain't happening that way. Now, quoting the Center for International Environmental Law, President Carol Muffett, our research shows, she says, that nearly all proposed geoengineering strategies fail a fundamental test. Do they reduce emissions and help end our reliance on fossil fuels? End quote. The report's title page features a quote from former ExxonMobil CEO and former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson that highlights the appeal of geoengineering to his industry. Quote, it's an engineering problem. Maybe I should say it with more gravitas. It's an engineering problem, and it has engineering solutions. The fear factor that people want to throw out there to say we just have to stop this burning fossil fuels, I do not accept. End quote. Inventing new technological solutions to deal with climate change has an obvious allure, and the mainstream media offers a steady flow of stories supporting this concept, but only according to the headlines. This week, the New York Times ran an in-depth story of a tiny Swiss company that thinks it can help stop climate change that highlighted a startup company working on removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, one of the main geoengineering strategies. However, like many of these stories, the hopeful headline doesn't match reality. The technology touted currently has no way of being scaled up to a level where it could have an actual impact on the climate. And even if it were possible, it would be decades away, decades the world doesn't have to wait. In order to meet international targets to limit global warming, the world needs to dramatically reduce its fossil fuel consumption and fast, according to climate scientists. The fantasy of unproven technologies constituting the bulk of geoengineering approaches provides a lifeline for the fossil fuel industry to keep justifying its future in a warming world. I'm going to continue with this article, but I also want to say the way I'm framing it is a little different. And that's, I don't want to frame this like you're getting a choice. I don't want you rubbing your chin and saying, gee, do I want to support geoengineering? It doesn't matter. That decision has been made by the big dogs, and they are going to do engineering, and they're practicing it. They're experimenting with it right now, today. It's happening. Now, I do want to know what your opinion is. I just don't want to frame it like, I mean, it'll matter after the revolution, that's for sure. Institutionally, it'll matter. It matters right now in terms of what we can organize and what's potentially possible. But you're not getting a vote on this. Geoengineering is moving forward. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Returning to the article, the Green New Deal movement, along with striking school children, an army of activists like Bill McKibben of Vote350.org, and increasing numbers of Democratic politicians are pushing the scientifically based message that in order to prevent catastrophic climate change, the world must begin transitioning away from fossil fuels now. Again, moving away from that text, Typhoon Idai. You'll look at it and you'll say a holy, you'll say the second syllable that I cannot say. On the FCC regulated airspace here on KBOO Portland. By the way, coming up, Per Fogring's going to be at 9:30. And I believe Heather at 10, so we've got some good radio coming up, and I hope that you will stay tuned, whatever you are doing and wherever you're at. And remember, if you've got an actual analog radio set, one of those ancient devices, well, you can listen to me all you want. You can't be tracked. So returning to that article. Let me say what that article was again, since this is radio and not text. This is from DSmog Blog, dsmogblog.com. And while sowing doubt about climate science has been an effective public relations strategy for the fossil fuel industry for decades, public polling reveals that the majority of Americans agree that climate change is real and requires action. Reading the crowd, the fossil fuel industry might then be inclined to move to the next best approach, delaying the actions which represent an existential threat to it. Now, quoting that CEIL report, Stephen Feit, quote, "For six decades, oil companies have argued that climate change does not exist, that it's not caused by human activity, and that if it is, it's not a problem. Now these companies are claiming to accept that climate change is an engineering problem. Like their decades of denial, this action is profoundly dangerous," end quote. As the report notes, geoengineering focuses on modifying the global climate system via methods like removing carbon dioxide from the air or dimming the sun with solar radiation management. Regardless of the theoretical effectiveness of the various proposed methods within these categories, all facilitate continued fossil fuel use, something industry advocates openly acknowledge. Now, if you use a little research, a little memory, history, and inductive logic, how likely is it that the fossil fuel industry suddenly came up with geoengineering as a solution? That's not how they roll, and that's not the history of Exxon Corporation, of the big oil corporations. They knew what they were doing. They knew that global warming was coming. They intentionally prevented democratic action on it, because if there's one thing a billionaire can't stand, it's democratic action. And they were effective. They prevented effective action against climate change. They've got all kinds. They've got one-third of Americans jumping up and down saying, her, climate change, her. And they'll just keep saying that because they were told to. And the rest of us can't budge them, in part because of the intentional design of the Electoral College. Time is 9:17. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Got to fight the her, which means we got to organize. And I think for most of you listening to me on this radio station, I don't have to make the case that climate change is an emergency. But if you're not there, then I think Typhoon Idai or Cyclone Idai will get you there. Just look at that. Look at that coverage today and imagine the town you're living in that condition. Now, skipping ahead in that article, whether ending reliance on fossil fuels or designing a whole new global industry to remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, both would require a coordinated effort, unlike any that has come before in the history of human civilization. Speaking for myself, or as Naomi Klein said, this changes everything. Returning to the text, however, scientists know that no longer burning fossil fuels will benefit the climate, and viable technologies for this energy transition already exist. As Pakula noted, wind and solar are now the cheapest forms of energy in the right locations. That's quite convenient at a time when the world needs cheap, low-carbon energy sources. On the other hand, betting the future on unproven geoengineering technologies, which enable the fossil fuel industry to continue drilling, mining, burning, and profiting while contributing to climate change. This could also work, but as the CEIL report argues, this is a far riskier approach for the risk of human civilization, which with a much lower chance of success. And I would argue with that. I don't see how it could possibly work. But that's what they wrote, and you can find it at DSmog blog. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Now, weather.com is owned by IBM, and they wrote, a team of Harvard scientists is poised to conduct the first sun-dimming experience in early 2019, which means this is happening right now, a geoengineering technique that researchers hope will keep global warming at bay. The $3 million stratospheric-controlled perturbation. The $3 million stratospheric-controlled perturbation experiment, or SCOPEX, entails the launch of two steerable balloons filled with calcium carbonate, a common ingredient in antacid. It's the Rolaids experiment. Once the balloons reach the stratosphere, the atmospheric layer that stretches from about 6 to 31 miles above the Earth's surface, small plumes of the calcium carbonate will be released, according to Nature magazine. Ironically, the plumes will be about the size of a bottle of antacid. The balloons will then collect data on how the calcium carbonate interacts with the stratosphere. Now, I want to move away from this text and say, we're talking about, this is just an experiment, and they're releasing less than a pound of calcium carbonate dust. And it will make some pretty large plumes, but it's insignificant. It's insignificant compared to the next jet flight. And speaking of jet flight, when it comes to geoengineering, I've been talking about a sort of reverse geoengineering for some time, and that was stopping the geoengineering that is happening as we allow jet traffic to create contrails at night, which reflect heat back onto their surface. How do I know this? Because shortly after 2001, measurements of the temperatures in the United States during the nationwide cessation of jet traffic showed that jet contrails reflect heat back out into space during the day and keep heat in at night. In other words, at night, the temperatures were markedly, not just measurably, but markedly lower when there were no contrails keeping it in. So this suggests a geoengineering plan that only requires that the airline industry eat some of their short-term profit, which they're not going to do, and they're going to distract you from ever thinking about this as a possible solution, and that would be not to fly causing contrails at night. Simple, isn't it? Number call, 503-231-8187. It's 921. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'll go to the first caller. Hi, Susanna. You're on the air.
Hi. We do have the perfect way to capture carbon and get it out of the atmosphere, and that's trees. And they keep getting cut down because they provide money, and the corporate forestry people are just cutting younger trees and creating a carbon output by destroying the soils and the destruction of the habitat around the areas of these beautiful coastal forests.
Trees are a really important part of that geoengineering, that, you know, the better geoengineering. And if we plant some trees now, I would say within a few decades, we could start seeing some results, and a lot of people are going to die between now and then, and things are going to get horrific in the meantime, so you're still going to be presented with geoengineering, as I was saying, whether you like it or not, because we're not allowed to make that decision.
Yeah, so how would it affect crops and things and plants that are so sensitive to daylight, everything?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Because the short answer is that it reduces crop yields sharply,
mm-hmm,
and could cause a worldwide food crisis. And who knows what else? I would argue it would probably create some terrific storms right at first, at least.
Yes. Have you had any feedback that people hear you about not flying planes at night?
No. I think it's just considered my crank idea, but I think it's really good, and I keep putting it out there.
Yes, well, good luck with that.
Yeah, that's all you can say. Good luck with that. It just really doesn't matter, I suppose. But anyway, you know, to the main point, I guess I want to promote revolution. I really want to, I'm encouraged that people are talking about socialism, and I'm encouraged that people are getting angry at the idea of people aggregating billions of dollars and thereby enough power to completely control the society by, you know, for example, in the case of Jeff Bezos, by extracting thousands of dollars of wage value from millions of people so that he has billions of dollars. And they really do extract, too. If you've ever worked in one of their, or if you talk to someone who worked in one of those warehouses, they make you work as hard and fast as you possibly can, and they expect you to collapse in a short period of time, after which you'll be replaced. And it's just sucking the life out of people and drawing it into Jeff Bezos' pocket. It's so blatant, and I'm really glad that people are talking about it, and that sort of thing has to be turned around before we can get the power to even make a collective decision about geoengineering or anything else.
Yes. He's also ruining the retail world for everybody else. He's the total monopolistic retail king.
Yeah, and his monopoly should be broken up under the Sherman Antitrust Act, but there was a decision in the 80s under the Reagan administration that said that that would not be done, and the excuse was that as long as you could show that a larger scale of the mergers and the monopolies was capable of producing, you know, some cheaper amount for some consumer somewhere, then that's good enough, and they're not going to enforce the antitrust and the monopoly laws anymore. But now I'm getting off topic. So thank you for calling in, and we'll see if I can get another call. 503-231-8187. Just got a couple minutes left. And I have been talking about geoengineering, and specifically I was just talking about an experiment that is being done right now, and it's called the Stratospheric Controlled Perturbation Experiment, or SCOPEX. So you can look that up, and there's an article in weather.com about it, but there's a few more articles you can find on, as I said, the news aggregators. And this is Harvard doing this, and they're putting up, basically they're putting up a helium balloon into the stratosphere and releasing, and acid, they're releasing carbon, calcium carbonate in a fine powder, and they want to see what that's going to do. And the reason they're doing it is because Exxon, you know, not specifically in their case Exxon, but generally speaking Exxon, and the major petroleum corporations would very much like for you to look towards geoengineering as a solution and stop talking about shutting down the petroleum industry, because that upsets them and could knock back a few of their billions of dollars and some of their free subsidy money that comes in from the government on a constant basis. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Continuing in the article, Jin Dai, Harvard University doctoral candidate working at the university's Solar Geoengineering Research Program, tried to calm the trepidations expressed by those who believe releasing anything into the atmosphere is a dangerous precedent. Quote, she's quoted saying, "I'm studying a chemical substance. It's not like it's a nuclear bomb," end quote. Go away, look the other way. So that brings up the whole question of, you know, should you ever experiment on something that is questionable? So I'm not all that worked up about the fact that she and that Harvard are doing the experiment in and of itself. An experiment is an experiment. But the fact that the point I'm trying to make here is that this is what the petroleum companies want. This is what they're going to push on you. I think they are now pushing on it. Actually, the thing that got me to do this topic this week is just the fact that I'm seeing all of these articles on geoengineering. If you look at Google Trends, you can see how they pop up over the last few years. And I've learned from following U.S. imperial policy that when a bunch of articles pop up about a topic like that, you know, when you see a bunch of articles about, say, Nicaragua, it's because the U.S. intends to go bomb Nicaragua or introduce Contras or whatever. And so it kind of, you know, it hit my spidey senses, and I pulled up some dozens of articles and printed up far more pages than I can possibly get to today. And as a matter of fact, it is now 9:28, getting down towards the bottom of the hour, and so I'm going to have to wrap this up. So I'll turn your attention also to an article in ecowatch.com about an aerosol sunshade. They write, "Would not protect the planet from rising CO2 emissions." And they go on to point out that if this were done, the oceans would continue to heat up, and once you start it, you can't stop, because if sulfates or calcium carbonate or whatever were sprayed into the atmosphere and it were blocking the sun and the CO2 continues to build up, then whatever global warming is happening or whatever CO2 is happening would provide instant global warming if it were stopped. So a global economic collapse or a war could cause that to come about, and then there would be a sudden, even more sudden, catastrophe. So you've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Time is 9:29. Coming up, we got Parafoggering with Fight the Empire, and you've been listening to KBOO 90.7 FM and other frequencies in Cascadia, and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
KBOO is looking for a grant writer to join our team. We are seeking someone with a proven track record in writing successful, complex proposals for diverse sources of grant funding. Previous experience working in the philanthropic landscape of the Portland metro area is preferred, and previous experiences working with community media organizations and with communities of color are A+. This is a one-year contract position for a total of 200 hours at $25 an hour, and the grant writer will work closely with the KBOO Development Director. For more information, go to our website at kboo.fm and click on the KBOO is Hiring link on the right side of the home page.